I shared last Sunday, and I'll probably share for a number of Sundays, some themes that I have shared on over the years that I think need to be underscored. Dan Murphy's going to come and read scripture for us today. Would you stand for the reading of God's word?
Good morning. It's a reading from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 12. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesize. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is the distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that built up the church. Amen.
Be seated. Thanks, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Sports like football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey are team sports. How many of you have played on a team sports like what I've just mentioned? So you understand the importance of a team. A team. Not just individual, but a team working together. Serving God in ministry is a team effort. And that whole concept of a team effort ministry raises the issue biblically of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. That's the subject of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14. And you can read Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and so forth. You could read the book of Acts and see manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. There is a direct correlation between spiritual gifts and team ministry in the body of Christ, the church. There is a direct correlation. The challenge that we have from the Apostle Paul: desire spiritual gifts. That is the challenge of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Again, listen to that verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Note that phrase, the way of love. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit that we find in Ephesians. Actually, it encompasses all the fruit, but we could say that it's one of the fruits. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So we see two things here. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. If you were reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, The Apostle Paul there is speaking very specifically about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which we're just looking at, the Apostle is speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then you look at 1 Corinthians 13, and that chapter is about love. Now, just a little quiz and see how many of you are familiar with the Old Testament. You know, the high priest in the Old Testament, if you read through when the garments were being set up, the whole tabernacle and even later the temple system for worship, and the high priest once a year would go in and make the atonement for the people. He had to dress in the white garments that were anointed and blessed by God, the turban, the breastplate, the robe, and all of that. Just picture that for a moment. How many of you know what was on the hem of the robe? Bells and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate, which is a fruit. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, all the way around the hem of the garment. Do you know why the bells? So he's wandering around offering atonement, and if he dies, the bells stop ringing. The bells are the sound, the noise that the priest is active. Now, why the pomegranates? To soften the sound of the bells. So here we come, and Paul, of course, very familiar with all of that. He's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14. And there, I don't think it's a coincidence. Love is not in chapter 15, but love is between chapter 12 and between chapter 14. Now, you might think I'm making a lot to do about that, but I don't think it's coincidence with God. High priest, a bell, pomegranate, bell, and pomegranate. 1 Corinthians, gifts, love, gifts. Love, or the fruit of the Spirit, involves our character in our relationships. Gifts involve our tools or our abilities for effective ministry in the body of Christ. We need both to have a healthy church. Now, my purpose this morning is not to really go in and define gifts, but I need to underscore that the gifts here are supernatural abilities given by God, very specifically given by Jesus. And I need to underscore that because I think there's a faulty notion that comes up sometimes within the church that somebody that's good at painting, or they're good at art, or they're good at carpentry, that they have some gift of the Spirit. That is not true. Now, some of you won't want to hear that. Now, certainly everything comes from God. Somebody could go out and play quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I noticed them on purpose. And they have this ability, this sports ability. Someone goes out and plays the piano. They've studied and they've maybe gone to Vienna or somewhere, and they've gone to some great music school, and they play the piano beautiful. Certainly that's an ability that God has given them. But here, when Paul's talking about gifts of the Spirit, he is not talking about natural abilities. He's talking about supernatural abilities that come from the Holy Spirit. Every person that has given their life to Jesus Christ, that has been born again, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells that person. Their dead spirit has been quickened and made alive, and the Holy Spirit comes in and they are born again. They're born anew. They're born from above. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit indwells them, and God gives them at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. One supernatural ability. Just think about a car for a moment. Maybe this will help visualize it. Our automobiles need an engine, which just metaphorically we could say is love. The engine sitting there under the hood, and that's what's going to give us power. But in order for that engine to have power, it needs fuel. And that's where the gifts come in. You have to have both in the body of Christ. You need the fruit of the Spirit, and you need the gifts of the Spirit. You need the character and the relationships, the fruit of love and all the others, joy, peace, and so forth. But you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You cannot emphasize one over and above the other. And I've heard in my years of being a pastor, the phrase comes up, well, yeah, I don't want to hear about gifts. You know, there's all kind of confusion and it's caused problems within the body of Christ. Yes, it has. I'll agree to that. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. You need love. You need the fruit of the Spirit. The high priest had the pomegranate, but he also had the bells to let him know, let the people out know that he was moving. He was doing the ministry that God had appointed him to do. And so we have this challenge from the Apostle Paul. Desire spiritual gifts. So the life-transforming question that is before us this morning that we need to address is, why desire spiritual gifts? Why desire them? And so for a few moments before communion, I want to answer that very important question and try to whet your appetite if necessary to help create a desire for spiritual gifts to be manifest in your life and the life of the church. God wants you to desire spiritual gifts. So let's see what Paul says here. As we get into this, I am very sensitive to the fact that it may challenge some of your theology. It will definitely challenge your hermeneutics. And that is, how do you interpret Scripture? So the first answer that we find here, desiring spiritual gifts, is obedience to God. See, you can't go, well, Pastor, that subject's for them crazy radical Pentecostals and charismatics. I don't want to hear that. No, it's... I use those words on purpose, crazy radical. They're not necessarily crazy radical. Certainly there's been some abuse. But this subject of desiring spiritual gifts is for all of us. I don't care if you are a radical Pentecostal or you're some dead Presbyterian. Sorry, Presbyterians. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to put down the Presbyterians. And everybody else in between. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we read these words, he's saying, you, the body of Christ, desire spiritual gifts. And not only that, he says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, meaning very earnestly, very seriously, with priority. And the gifts here, the charismata, the supernatural abilities coming from God, because charis, the root word for charismata, is the word for grace, and it comes from God. Those are supernatural abilities given to every Christian by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, for his purposes. So we need to deal with our spiritual biases and prejudices. Lovingly. Forget all your anti-gift stuff that maybe you have heard. Forget all the anti-charismatic or anti-Pentecostal propaganda that maybe you were fed. Maybe you weren't. And I'll say praise God if you weren't. But maybe you were. Forget all of that. God's word is clear. Desire spiritual gifts. And there's no wiggle room here. You can't get out of that. So you sit and you say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. And you pick up 1 Corinthians 14 and you read this passage. And he says, desire spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, I need to clarify something. This may lead to some discussion. And if you want to discuss it with me, certainly I'm very happy to do that one-on-one. As a church, as a denomination, we are not cessationists. And you say, what do you mean by that? We do not believe, I do not believe, Edinburgh Road Chapel does not believe, and the Christian Missionary Alliance does not believe, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased with the coming of Scripture or with the death of the last apostle. Now, that is a popular belief, popular theological belief in some Christian circles. And I'll readily admit that most of them are my brothers in Christ, but radically disagree with them because they're quite unbiblical. Nowhere in Scripture. Zero. None. And I would challenge you to show me. Does the Bible teach that the gifts of the Spirit ceased? See, God wants us to desire His spiritual gifts. Period. That is His will for us. To be obedient and making desiring spiritual gifts a priority when it comes to our life and ministry, our team ministry in the body of Christ. His will, desiring spiritual gifts, is always for our best interest and the best interest of His church. Let me just lay it out as plain and simple as I can. To not desire spiritual gifts is to be disobedient. Don't raise your hand, but is there anybody here that wants to disobey God? Do you want to disobey His word? I hope not. So to not desire spiritual gifts is to be disobedient. So if we want to obey God's word, we will do whatever it takes to learn about spiritual gifts. And right there, I know that that becomes a little bit of a wiggle room. It's like, yeah, Pastor, I'm on board with you here. I agree. But man, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know what my gifts are. And I don't know how I'm to pray about it. And I just don't know. Well, part of that may be true. You may just not know. As long as it's not laziness. I really don't want to know. Because if I do know, and He gives me this gift, then I got to serve Him. Do you get it? So it's better to stay ignorant. Like, I just don't know. Or, man, I'll slip into a church that says they ceased and I don't have to worry about it, you know. No, can't do that. So if we take this serious, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, we will do everything that we can to learn about what gifts are all about. And you won't just take my word for it. See, I could be telling you a bunch of nonsense. I'm not. But you may not believe me, and that's okay. So you got to find out for yourself. Because when you pick up 1 Corinthians and you read it, he's saying, hey, you're one of my children. Desire spiritual gifts. Now it's on you to find out what this subject is all about and what your spiritual gifts are. So you can't cop out and say, well, that's not for me. That's not my cup of tea. It is your cup of tea. And God wants you to desire them. Second reason. First one is it demonstrates obedience to God's word. Second, desiring spiritual gifts help create a healthy church. This is where the team ministry comes in. Desiring spiritual gifts helps create a healthy church. It's just a stupid question. Does anybody want to be part of an unhealthy church? Man, I don't. That's why I have preached and taught on this subject in numerous venues in my many years of being a pastor, be it here or elsewhere. Verse 1 is part of the larger context of the strength, maturity, life, and health of the church. So you cannot separate gifts of the Spirit from a healthy church. And I know right there, right at that point, somebody's going to go, But what about this church over here? They're a cessationist church, and they're a healthy, dynamic church. Now, this is going to sound very judgmental, and I don't mean it to be. but I would question how healthy they really are. They may have all kinds of activities. They may have all kinds of fun things, entertainment things, great youth things, great children's things. But if they do not function by the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to be healthy the way God wants them to be healthy. Gifts of the Spirit are the guidelines to make sure that we do not do ministry or do church for our own personal agendas, our own personal whims, and our own personal schedules. Like, okay, I'll do that job because it fits into my schedule. It fits into my agenda. It fits in when I want to serve. Gifts of the Holy Spirit just erase that. And it says, God has given me gifts. God has given me this gift or these gifts, supernatural abilities, and I must use them regardless of when, where, how, in the body of Christ, not to fit my schedule or my little whim. And those gifts also ensure that we serve Him and not self. Gifts ensure that we do not put round pegs in the square holes when it comes to ministries or, quote, for a lack of a better word, jobs. In places of ministry in the body of Christ. Do you know a person, and this is nothing against school teachers, a person can be a school teacher and do great in a public school system but not have the supernatural gift of teaching. It is quite possible. And just because they were a school teacher doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a good teacher in the body of Christ. That you want teachers that are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Just because a person is a CEO or a bank president doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a good leader in the church. Leadership is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Read Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, Romans 10, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. You read the gifts that are listed there. Supernatural abilities to make sure that we don't take square pegs and try to pound them into round holes, so to speak. Gifts also ensure that it's an edification ministry and not just a duty-bound job. I got this job, man. I just hate it. And I got to do my job. No, when you're doing what the Holy Spirit has gifted you to do, it's like, wow. Wow, what the burden is gone. Now, at this point, I have to use my own life as a living example. And those of you who have known me over the years know that I am a pastor teacher not because I chose to be a pastor teacher. Like, wow, I think, yeah, that sounds good. Man, it has good pay, good benefits, you know. You only work on Sundays. No. Connie and I, growing up in the same church in southwestern Pennsylvania, south of Pittsburgh, as teenagers, and we started that, you know, I like her and she likes me kind of thing. And she would sit in church and look at the pastor in the pulpit and say, I want to marry a pastor. And I'm sitting in church looking at the pastor saying, that's the last thing I ever want to be. So when she married me, she said, that's it. I'm not going to be married to a pastor. Little did she know what God had in plan, huh? But when God's call and God's gifts touch your life, it becomes fun. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been some down moments in 40-some plus years. But it's like the burden. It's not a burden. It's not a job. It's not a duty. It's exciting. And I'm a pastor, teacher, because I have the gift of pastor, teacher. And if I didn't, I'd be out doing something else. I'd probably still be working, I don't know, whatever, some other kind of job. And so Connie ended up marrying a pastor, teacher that God had his hand on. Why desire spiritual gifts? We need to draw this to a conclusion this morning. We're not focusing on all the gifts of the Holy Spirit but just why? Why desire them? And that's what I want to underscore, that we are to desire them. not just, they're there, no big deal, let's don't make any waves, let's don't talk about it, don't want any confusion, etc. No, we have to desire them. It demonstrates obedience to God's will for His church. And then it helps create that environment for a healthy church. Do you desire spiritual gifts? Pray and seek Him. And I, again, from experience, I know just by me saying that statement, pray and seek Him, that creates all kinds of, whoa, you mean I am to pray that God gives me a such and such a gift? Yeah. But, what if He gives me something I don't want? He's not going to give you anything that's going to hurt you. Our Heavenly Father loves you. And what does the Word say? If you ask for a bread, will He give us a snake? No. Our Father loves us. And He knows you by name. And when you say, Lord, I want to be used in the body of Christ, this is a specific gift that I desire, you ask Him. Or He implants on you some other area of ministry and you need gifts to minister there, you ask Him. What is so exciting about that? And I know that this statement may not register with everybody, but you move from the natural realm to the supernatural realm. You move from, okay, it's church and I love Jesus and I'm born again and I'm going to heaven and I teach Sunday school or do whatever I do, you know, and I go there and that's nice. But it moves you from just the natural realm to, wow, I mean, the Holy Spirit is at work here. And I'm telling you, that's an exciting way to live. That's an exciting way to do ministry. It's in that supernatural realm of the Spirit. And when you begin to minister out of the gifts of the Spirit, that's what happens. Remember, the Lord wants you to desire spiritual gifts. Are you desiring those gifts? Ask Him. Get alone with Him. You seek Him, and He'll answer your prayer. Let's take a moment to pray before communion. Father, thank You for Your presence. And yes, as Kim has sung, we breathe in Your presence. We come at Your feet. Speak to us now. Bless us with Your presence as we partake of these elements for Your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the men that will be assisting and serving, they will come. Always share a few words of instruction, and that is that our communion table is open. You do not have to be a member of Edinburgh Road Chapel. You do not have to be a member of our parent denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You do need to be a member of God's family, and that comes by your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're welcome to participate with us. I ask that everybody hold their portion when everybody's received. Then we will eat, then we will drink together. Children are welcome to partake as long as they understand that these elements represent the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. We do not believe it's actual flesh. We're not drinking blood, but they represent His broken body and His shed blood. Men, would you come? Broken bread, for those of you that weren't here a while ago, we went to get the bread and the tomb was empty. The body was gone. The broken bread represents the body of Christ. But thanks to our deaconesses, or the one elder that helps them. We had an empty tomb. But that'll be etched in our brains forever, won't it? Might make a chapter in my book someday. But today, the body is here. We have a broken bread. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said it was his body, that he would die. And our hope is in him. Let's give thanks. Mark, would you give thanks for the body of Christ?
Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your son. Jesus, we thank you for your voluntary sacrifice. That those nails didn't hang you on that cross, but the love for us did. Father, I'm humbled that you bring your grace and your love to us, Father, and we are just so unbelievably thankful and eternally grateful for that. We ask that you use us as examples, as a light to others, and that we could further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. The men will serve you if you will just hold your portion, and then we will eat together. Communion in the New Testament, the early church, it was a love feast. Someday we're going to have a fantastic love feast in glory where Jesus said he would drink wine, new wine, with the body of Christ. So we're sitting here as part of the family of God, and there are millions of Christians all over the world celebrating communion in different ways, some once a month, some once a week, some every day, some maybe once a year, some with different elements, matzah crackers, bread, grape juice, wine. It's all for the purpose of remembering Jesus. And I can't help but think that at that Last Supper, there was solemn moments. Jesus knew what was coming. But it was his brothers assembled. And I'm sure they were talking and interacting, and there were some questions, and there might have, as we know from Scripture, probably some bickering. Who was going to be the greatest and who was going to sit at his right hand and those types of things. All of that to say that you're welcome to remain quiet as the men distribute these to you. You're welcome to share. God has answered prayer. He's healed you. He's set you free from something. Feel free to take a moment to share. And silence is okay. You just want to sit quiet and meditate on the Lord. Good news. I mentioned a few moments ago about sitting in church, and when I was young, when I was a teenager, and looking at the pastor saying, that's the last thing I ever want to be. And Connie sitting there saying she'd like to marry a pastor, and she married me and said, that's it, right, dear? It's out the window. She'd never marry a pastor, so once she married me. So I used to tease her, and we're family, so she won't get mad in front of you all. Maybe later I'll suffer.
Don't go home.
Before she dated me, she dated this kid at camp. I say dated. Bill. She's only like 13 then. And so after she marries me, and you know, I'm in a church and you're dealing with people and stuff, you know, because sheep can be messy, right? Sheep can be smelly. And I'd say, Con, Now you feel bad you married a pastor. You could have married Bill. And he's a barber back in Western Pennsylvania. I think he's still a barber. I hope he's still alive, maybe. But she didn't marry Bill. And so she stuck with the pastor. Yeah, amen. He certainly did that to us. Amen. Jesus, the bread of life, the manna that came down from heaven. If you know the Old Testament story, the supernatural manna that God provided. Jesus said he was the manna provided by the Father to give us life. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were wandering and they needed food. And God sent them manna to provide for them. And Jesus really is our manna. I know that sounds cliche-ish, but he is. He's our hope. Our hope is in him forever. And eating it is saying, Jesus, you mean everything to me. Let's eat together. The cup of the New Testament, or the cup of redemption. We have been purchased, we've been bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. Eternal life, forgiveness is a gift. You can't buy it. We don't deserve it, but he's provided. That's what grace is all about. And the shed blood is the means by which it was done. Christian, would you give thanks?
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have established this for eternity. If we repent and we turn away from our evil ways and we turn to you, this, your blood, will wipe clean all the sins that stick to us. Only you could do this, and we thank you that you did it for us.
Amen. 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 Immediately after the worship service, when we're dismissed, I know some of the deaconesses and anybody that else wants to help.
And deacons.
Anybody that wants to help. They're getting rid of all the Christmas decorations. So the cradle will be gone. And we're going to go from a cradle to a wooden cross in a few months. So if you want to help, just see the deaconesses and everybody that will be here. Yes, Ty.
No, most of us know our daily lives are filled with choices. And all of us here that know God know that what the best choice is, the Lord's choice, right? So sometimes you struggle with, is this God or me or what? So we all know that, right? We want to make the right choice. Anyway, about 4 months ago, the Lord had shared the apartment where I live, our left. So we were looking in how to get another person, because the rent would be way more than I could pay for by myself. So that's the reason. mid-30s, she started to really struggle with alcohol. And it became a very serious problem with her mid-30s. So she took the step to try to get better, and she went through a process. Now, the end of this process was to get her back into Hamilton around her kids. The stage she was at was about 6 to 9 months, they figured she'd be back ready to establish her own identity, her own apartment, whatever. So in the quest of looking for somebody to share with me, these people came along. And I had no idea that Jamie would be a candidate for this at all. So the guy called and said, we got somebody. And then he started listing this whole litany of issues. She's got 3 kids, and they're going to come, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. I hung up the phone and went, wow, no car, probably going to be asking for rides. And I'm about to help people out, but I hung up and went, and Jamie came to my mind. God made that choice. I'm like, wait a minute. If I'm going to struggle with people and help, and I'm going to have kids over my house, I'll be my grandkids. And I called her. I said, God, is this you? I've hardly waited 2 minutes. I just, God, is this you? Boom, I called Jamie. Any chance that this can happen? She was surprised. She goes, I don't know, maybe. She called the landlord. She called her job. She got hired up in Flemington. She got transferred to the place here in Hamilton. The landlord said, you're good with rent. You can go without owing us any money. And all just, boom, we fell in place. So as of January 1st, my old school district came. We're a ruling, and we're living, and until God moves her on. So she had her kids last night over. And thank you for your prayers. And continue to pray that she stays sober and does her meetings and all the things she's supposed to do. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ty. Oh, Skip.
Yeah. I'd just like to thank everyone that has been praying for Kate, for her ALS and the death sentence that she's facing, and your faithfulness and all for praying for her. I'd also like to put out another prayer request. Yesterday, her father, Leo, was rushed to the hospital with a heart attack, a major heart attack. He had a 99% blockage on one side, another 100% on that side, and then on the other side it was 80 and 50. So they put in 3 stents and opened up the 2 worst ones, and they're going to deal with the other one in the next week or so. But I'd just like to ask that everybody would just pray for Leo. This is really crushing for this family. They have been through so much whatever already over a year now with their daughter with ALS, and then to have this on top of it. So if you would just remember them in prayer, please.
Yeah, Leo's a retired Trenton cop. Some of you might know him. He's a believer. He's a brother in Christ. His family, his wife, Mary Kate, they had to deal with all this. And I just sit back and say, Lord, how much can they take? But God knows what he's doing. But remember their family. Men? Just a simple cup of grape juice that we use. As I said, some churches use wine and other things. But it represents the blood of Jesus. Without the blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Drinking it is really saying, I'm a sinner, but I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. You've paid the price. You've provided cleansing and forgiveness. So if that's your testimony, let's drink. They're right on us. The men will collect your cups. Let's stand. If you have never gotten alone with God and said, Lord, I want to minister in the supernatural realm, ask Him for the gifts or gift that you need. Radically change your life. It takes away all the burden of trying to do stuff. It just becomes, it's supernatural, but then it becomes natural. Thank you, Father, for your presence. We breathe in your presence as we leave here and praise your name. Amen.